I'm Ruth. Welcome to A Quiet Life. Today is episode 68 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it is Wednesday, the 27th of May, 2020. Today's episode is a chapter from my year of saying no, and it's about different seasons in life and this question of, you know, what do you do when life, as it does sometimes, says no to you? And I think that, you know, out of all of the chapters of my year of saying no, this is probably the most appropriate one for this time of COVID-19 that we're going through. I've been reading all these other chapters about, you know, making sure that your appointment calendar is clear and all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm still working full time doing my thing as we go through this, this unprecedented time. I'm still working full time, and I know a lot of people are. So I guess that some of the stuff that I've said actually is appropriate to a lot of people. But for a lot of us who are just at home and unable to go out and do all the normal things that we do all the time, these chapters have probably been like, yeah, well, I wish that I did have overlapping appointments in my calendar that I could deal with and all the rest. And I've always said, well, these chapters are about, you know, thinking about the future and when we get back into things, how things are going to change and how you can make your life not go back to hectically busy like it has been. Well, this chapter is for right now. This chapter is about when life says no, and life does say no to people. And I wrote this, 2016, 2017, and I found it appropriate then. So it's not only about coronavirus, but life doesn't normally say no to all of the world at one time, and it has right now. So I hope that you can apply this to your life, whatever season you're going through, whether you're frantically busy or not, and whether life is saying no to you or not. I hope that it's helpful. Anyway, yeah, enjoy it. This week in my life, I got a really nice message from a listener who said, oh, I just listened to your interview with Kathy. That's episode 30, the interview that I had with Kathy, not 13, 3030. And she said, oh, I know Kath and I've lost contact with her, and can we get back in contact again? And so I contacted Kathy, and that was all great. And these people were lovely people who had Kathy live in their house, this lady in her house, when Kathy was a university student. So, and they'd lost contact, and then she heard the interview, and then she's like, can you put me in contact with Kathy? Now, she found some other way, you know, full disclosure, to find Kathy before I managed to put them in touch. But I thought, that is so cool that they got in touch because of my podcast. Absolutely amazing. That just really made my day. So if you want to get in touch with me or with someone on my podcast, you can find me at ruthamos.com.au. You can email me ruth@ruthamos.com.au. That's R-U-T-H-A-M-O-S. Now that I'm not using the intro, I have to say that now, .com.au. My Twitter is @aquietlife. I'm not there very often, but you might be able to find me there. And Facebook, where I live, is Ruth Amos Author, which is where this particular listener found me. So do that if you want to get in touch with any of my guests, or if you would like to chat to me about something, I would love to hear you, what you have to say. Yeah, and I want to say a big thank you too for prayers and care that I did receive from my listeners and you, my friends, after my emotional introduction last week. This week I've been slightly less emotional, but yeah, I really appreciated the care and support, and thank you very much. Yeah, you know, we have these weeks. This week has been slightly less emotional. The big things for me this week were I went bushwalking on Saturday. We went to Snug Falls, and it was raining. We picked the rainiest time of the day to go for that bushwalk. It wasn't raining. It was drizzling, enough that I didn't wear my glasses, but not enough to be uncomfortable. But we were pretty wet through by the time we'd finished walking down to the fall and back, and so we came home and lit a fire and drank hot chocolates, and it was yummy. But just being out in the bush was just so refreshing, just beautiful, and you know, listening to the birds and seeing all the green and everything, it was just gorgeous. And there were lots and lots of people we passed on the way there and back who had got together in groups of less than 10, you know, legal groups, but to go bushwalking together. And it was just lovely to see. It was actually, there was this one family, and I don't know what had happened, but the baby in the backpack was not happy. And we're passing them, this baby is yelling its lungs out, poor thing. And the rest of the group were sort of waiting around to, you know, while they got the baby sorted out. And one of the members of the group was a kid who was playing with a stick, as boys tend to do, girls as well. But this little boy had taken his beanie and pulled it right down over his face. He's standing in the pathway with a big long stick. He's a blind swordsman fighting I don't know what. And we're trying to pass him, and his dad's just sort of like, yeah, hey, buddy, let's just get you sorted. It was quite fun. Anyway, it was nature was wonderful, and just coming in contact with other human beings was probably also a really nice, refreshing part of it. So that was just a gorgeous way to spend the day. And the other big thing that has happened this week is that the cover for my new novel, Deadly Miscalculation, got finalised, and I love it. I think it's beautiful. And if you want to see it, you maybe have to sign up to my newsletter for my fiction, which is at rjamos.com, RJ Amos, which is my fiction name. So yeah, head over there, sign up to my newsletter. I'm not begging, really. And you get my newsy news about my novels and things. But anyway, it's a beautiful cover. I really love it. So that's the big things that have happened to me in the last week. And now we're all up to date, and I'm going to put on this chapter of my year of saying no about seasons of life, and pray that whatever season you are in, that you know God's closeness to you at this time. August. In August, I felt frazzled, overwhelmed, exhausted, and busy, powerful, important, and at times rested, bored, grateful, happy, and then tired, trapped, and angry. I had days at work where it was not humanly possible to fit in everything that needed to be done, but I felt useful and needed. I had appointments and meetings outside of work and tried to keep working on my writing. I had evenings at home spent in front of the fire, reading, chatting to Moz, playing crib, even singing along with him to his piano playing. There was no balance. Work was crazy and harder to do because I'd made the decision to leave. But interspersed in the work days were islands of rest. Sometimes enforced rest because of the flu, sometimes just conscious rest. I was scared that looking forward to the future was just being naive and closing my eyes to reality, and that things would never be better than they already were. I practiced living in the moment, and I was blessed by conversations with friends who helped me bear my burdens. I made it through the month, gasping for air, and determined that next winter I would do better. I was very happy to leave the winter behind. Chapter 11. Seasons. As I said in Chapter 5, one of the things I did when I was trying to figure out what to say no to was to make a mind map of my life. I divided it up into sections: family, church, work, writing, and health. In each section, I put the activities that I wanted to include and make time for, and I used that map as a method of saying no to those things that didn't fit in the segments. It was a good way of seeing clearly what the priorities were in my life, and of figuring out what things just didn't fit into my priorities, a way of looking at what I valued, and a way of testing each opportunity as it came. Just a few months after I filled in this mind map, I could already see things that no longer fitted my life. For example, one of the planned tasks under work was to apply for a new position that I knew would be advertised at my workplace. This position was an opportunity I had been waiting for years. I thought it would fulfill my desire for permanency and security, and when I drew up the mind map, I was ready to go for it. In the, 3 or 4 months after I completed the mind map, my ideas were completely changed. I no longer wanted to apply for the job. I wouldn't have accepted it if it were handed to me on a silver platter. I was ready to change direction and so grateful that I wasn't locked into a long-term position. I often get sucked into what I call the Enid Blyton mindset, the idea that if you get everything under control, get into the right school, job or relationship, or have a certain amount of money saved, or figure out the right exercise routine, or somehow just get every area of your life just right, then you'll live happily ever after. Of course it doesn't work like that. Things are constantly changing. Your exercise routine might work really well until you get sick. Or the amount of money you have for a buffer might be exactly right until your car breaks down and it all gets used up. Life is particularly skilled at throwing spanners in the works. We need to be flexible, constantly changing, constantly growing. Some seasons of life are particularly hard. One of the seasons of life that I found especially draining was when my children were small. As much as I loved my children, and still do, it was all I could do just to get through each day. I lived in a constant state of exhausted fog. I don't think that I could have done any writing when the kids were small, even though it is the thing that gives me life and joy now. It just would not have fitted into that season of my life. The thing I'm trying to say is that our needs and wants change over time. It's not that we have one perfect life set up that we are struggling towards and when we get there will be bliss. No, I think we need to be flexible with ourselves and take the time to have a good hard look at where we are every so often so that we can adjust our list of priorities. What was once so very important may now be dropped off the list. If a new priority, maybe taking care of aging parents, comes onto the list, other priorities, the morning tea roster at church, might have to be knocked off. Or it might just be time, like it is now for me, to deliberately change your life so that a new major priority can get major chunks of time. What do you think of the idea of seasons? Is it time for a change in your life? Or are you just hanging on to see a certain season through and wondering if things will ever change? You might be saying, okay, Ruth, that's all well and good, but I had plans, good plans, and I've put aside time to follow them and I was going fine down the road and I've suddenly hit a massive roadblock. What now? What happens when life says no to you? When you've done all the right things, followed all the steps for success, held on until the season seemed right, gone for it, and then bam. When the amount of flexibility you need to deal with what life throws at you is about the same as a roller skater going under the limbo pole that's 10 centimetres off the ground. I haven't really gone through this myself, but you might be able to take some tips from what my mother has gone through. My mother is a concert pianist. As kids, we took it for granted. Didn't everyone go and watch their mother perform? Hadn't everyone's mother been recorded and played on ABC Radio? No, of course not. We knew that. But it takes a while for kids to appreciate how special their own mother's talent is, I think. I found out recently that at 15 years of age, my mum won a concerto contest and played a movement of Beethoven's first piano concerto with the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra. That's pretty impressive if you ask me, and there were many more triumphs to follow. Mum's playing sometimes took a front seat, like when she and Dad moved to the USA for 10 years to work with the Christian Performing Arts Fellowship, and sometimes it took more of a back seat, like when she was raising us kids. It was always a joint decision between Mum and Dad as to which direction they took their lives. But some years ago now, when Mum and Dad were in the USA, they noticed an increased stiffness and weakness in Mum's right arm and hand. It didn't go away, so they came back to Australia to start looking into medical options. Mum was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. It was really frustrating for her. She could still play beautifully and better than most people, but she couldn't play to the standard that she wanted to. The concerts and recordings were taken away from her, and it definitely wasn't her choice. Sometimes seasons change for us, and we don't want them to at all, but we still have a choice as to how we deal with that situation. Don't get me wrong, you need to grieve when you have something like that ripped away from you. It's not fair, and it's definitely not fun. But there is something you can do. I'll show you what Mum did. She changed her focus. She still played piano, but she chose to use this moment to focus on another part of music that was very close to her heart, choral work. At the moment, Mum leads two choral groups and is part of a third. One choir leads the singing at the church where she is music minister. One choir performs in old people's homes and regional festivals and all sorts of places. One choir does more semi-professional oratorio works. Mum is still surrounded by music and still giving so much to the people around her. I have another beautiful friend, Mandy, who has been crippled with chronic fatigue. She is unable to work, unable to do anything most days but sit in the garden and occasionally walk to the end of her driveway. But somehow she still manages to post little tidbits and photos on Facebook that enrich the lives of us who read them. Sometimes life says no to you. The trick seems to be finding the new thing in the new season that can give you life and fulfillment. being grateful for what you still have, no matter how small, and being able to reach out to others through that. Nobody wants these seasons. They are no fun. They are not what we planned and not what we'd do if we were in charge. If you are going through something like this, I am so sorry. I hope that you can find a spark to help you through it. Maybe a change of plan. Maybe a little joy that you can give to others. Or maybe there's another way of coping that I don't know about. I'd love to hear from you about it. I hope that I can remember some of this, or that someone will gently remind me if I become the one stuck in the roadblock. Well, I hope that chapter of my year of saying no was a blessing and encouragement to you. If you found it helpful and you can think of a friend it might be helpful for, please feel free to share it with the friend. And remember that you can read the whole book. You can find links to that at ruthamos.com.au. Next week we talk to a classical violinist who works for the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra and then shares her gifts with us at church too. A really lovely person is Christine. I'm sure you'll enjoy the interview. As always, special thanks to Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music for this podcast, and I will chat with you again next week.